Hey guys, back on the Young Turks, Cenk and Anna with you guys. I don't have time to read your tweets because we have yet another breaking news story. This is unbelievable. It's coming in so fast we can't keep. Eventually, it's going to happen every minute, and we won't have time to read them.
Remember when we were overwhelmed when there was a breaking news story every day, like a big bombshell news story regarding Trump? And now it's every hour. We can't keep up.
Every hour. Okay. So, new breaking news: House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy apparently on a leaked tape. Now he's a Republican, of course. Said about Donald Trump that he thinks Vladimir Putin pays him. He says there's two people that I think Putin actually pays: Dana Rohrabacher, who has been all over TV defending Putin no matter what he does, and Donald Trump. Now these tapes are from a year ago. They were during the campaign. Later, McCarthy turned around and pledged his loyalty to Trump and endorsed him. Of course. Now they're claiming in retrospect, now that the tapes have been leaked, that he was just kidding. But on the tapes, he says, I think that Putin pays Trump and Rohrabacher. His colleagues laugh, and then he says, no, swear to God.
He says, swear to God, and at one point, Paul Ryan says, we need to keep this conversation quiet or private.
He says, no leaks. This is how we know we're a real family here. Oops. Well, it just leaked, so. I don't know that Kevin McCarthy, the House Majority Leader for the Republicans, knows anything more than investigators do, but it does give you, at a minimum, insight into what Republicans actually think of Trump. So as they have been defending him through the campaign, and now that he's president, in reality, some of the top Republican leaders believe that he's bought off by Vladimir Putin, and they put politics above country.
That's
and
right.
Supported him anyway.
That's right. Not only do they put politics above country, privately they have at least some suspicion of what's really going on, and they have decided to defend him anyway, knowing that he puts the entire country in jeopardy. There's definitely that issue right there. And these are individuals who consistently support unnecessary wars, and anyone who has the audacity to speak out against them is being unpatriotic. This is unpatriotic. Supporting someone and having unwavering support for them, especially if you believe they're being paid off by another government, is very questionable, especially if you're a US politician who's supposed to be representing US citizens, not the best interests of Vladimir Putin or Donald Trump.
Okay, well, on the upside for us, apparently you cannot miss any live Young Turk shows anymore. Because if we're on the air, news will break. And several times a show, okay? So tell your friends, your neighbors, and even Randy Gonzalez, tytnetwork.com/live, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern. Guaranteed that news will break when we're on the air. All right, speaking of which, we actually have great news for you guys.
Yes, so let's do that. Chelsea Manning has been released from prison today. This is as a result of President Barack Obama, or former President Barack Obama, commuting his sentence. Now, his conviction has not been wiped. Her conviction has not been wiped from her record. However, she will not have to serve the full 35 years in prison that she was sentenced to. Now, Chelsea Manning was released from a military prison Wednesday after 7 years behind bars. She would have remained behind bars until 2045 after serving a 35-year sentence. Now, I should note that while she's been in prison, she has gone through terrible treatment, including being stripped naked and left in a solitary confinement cell. She was initially denied the drugs necessary to transition from male to female, and they also attempted to punish her when she had a magazine that she wasn't supposed to have. But of course, that turned into a big story, and things didn't, you know, explode from there. Now, she did release a statement prior to being released. She said, two more days until the freedom of civilian life, now hunting for private health care like millions of Americans. She also wrote, for the first time, I can see a future for myself as Chelsea. I can imagine surviving and living as the person who I am and can finally be in the outside world.
So I think Chelsea Manning is absolutely positively an American hero. And so back in 2010, as Bradley Manning, she got these 700,000 classified military and diplomatic documents and leaked it to WikiLeaks. Now, that's when a lot of folks go, oh my God, they're classified. Well, that was in the pre-Trump era. Now, in the Trump era, you could apparently just give the classified documents right to the Russians. And it's not that big a deal. You could expose our sources or our ally sources to getting killed, etc. Now the right wing is defending that. But back in the day, they were really against it.
Right.
But understand what we found out in those documents. We found out that internally, the American government knew that the civilian death toll was way larger than they were admitting in public. Now, this is what drives us crazy about mainstream news. They treat whatever the Pentagon says as gospel, when in reality, we know for a fact, partly because of the Chelsea Manning leaks, that the Pentagon lies and does it consistently and brazenly and without any hesitation at all. They know what the real numbers were, and they put out lower numbers because they didn't want the Iraq war to appear to be a disaster, which it was. So now, that's information the American people can use in a democracy to make correct decisions on whether we should stay in Iraq or not. But the Pentagon wanted to manipulate you. They wanted to do propaganda because they wanted to stay in Iraq longer for their purposes, not necessarily for your purposes. So that is why they were so upset about the leaks. How dare an American citizen be brave enough to tell the American people what we're actually doing? And of course, probably the most famous part of the leaks was the Apache helicopter video. And the thing that gets under my skin the most, and if you're a real American patriot, you should be so angry over. We find out that there we killed journalists and first responders. You see it clear as day in the tapes, and we've got our guys. They mistake the cameras for weapons. Now, one, I would hope to God that they would be more careful normally, but they weren't. They weren't remotely careful. And then they laugh about it. They kill. And then when the now you can say, hey, collateral damage. So what? We killed a lot of reporters and civilians in Iraq. Had it coming. I don't know why you would say that, but I guess some people could say that. But there is no excuse for shooting at the first responders.
Right.
I mean, that is a clear war crime. You know how many days those guys spent in jail? None. Zero. Free to go. You murdered reporters. You don't want to call it murder. You accidentally killed reporters. You shot and murdered first responders. Free to go. Not a day in jail. Nothing. Nothing. You reveal that to the American people? How dare you share with them the truth? You're going to prison. She would have been in prison till 2045, as Anna just told you. 2045.
Right. And also,
so I just one last thing, Anna. I think this was the absolute best decision of Obama's 8-year term, and I'm not exaggerating, and yes, I'll include every position that he had there, because everything else was half measures. Now, here I think that they should have gotten rid of his conviction, etc. But at least Chelsea Manning gets to go free, and if Obama hadn't done that, this American hero would have stayed in prison. You know, she tried to commit suicide twice last year.
Right.
Okay, because it is maddening the confinement that they have her in. So thank God for it.
Right. I don't mean to rain on the Obama parade, but I want to be fair as well. Keep in mind that Chelsea Manning was arrested in July of 2010. So at that point, President Obama was already in office. It happened under his watch, and Chelsea Manning continued to be, you know, imprisoned right up until the end of his second term. So, you know, and it was a half measure. You know, the conviction is on her record. Her life will never be the same. She's unlikely to find a decent paying job. Who knows? Maybe because of such a high profile case, maybe she'll find work doing something a little unconventional, you know, maybe working in the media. I don't know. I have no idea what she's going to do. But remember, the arrest happened under Obama's watch. She was imprisoned for a long time. She was treated very poorly for a long time. And yes, I'm happy that Obama did commute the sentence, but still half measure.
Yeah, no, I understand. Look, now you're opening up a can of worms. If I, you know, should Obama put Chelsea Manning in prison in the first place? Of course not. Daniel Ellsberg never went to the prison after releasing the Pentagon Papers. You know why? Because the Pentagon Papers helped America to see the truth about what our government was doing and make better decisions in a democracy. Those are not leakers, they're whistleblowers. And Ellsberg is rightly considered an American hero, and Manning is just as much of an American hero. Yes, it was cowardice to ever put her in prison in the first place and to keep her in prison for all that time, let alone what authorities called basically torture in the way that she was kept in solitary confinement over and over and over again, right?
Right.
Now, having said that, we've gotten used to the barbarism of our government. So when they let up for just a second, I feel such enormous relief, because they could have kept her in a dungeon and God knows what would have happened
right,
to her.
You're right, 2045 is a long time from now. And so I'm glad that she's free, and I hope that, you know, she has a happy, long life out there in the civilian world. It's just interesting because I'm curious to see what her reaction is going to be to the current state of affairs. I mean, she might want to go back to prison.
Yeah.
I'm joking, obviously, but things are not so great right now.
Yeah.
So anyway, all right, moving on to some other news. Oftentimes when we talk about Mexican immigrants in this country, it's usually geared toward a lot of xenophobia, a lot of ridiculous stereotypes, but we never really talk about how Mexican immigrants are treated in farms and various states throughout the country. Now, there is a story involving the Department of Labor, which has filed a lawsuit against G Farms. This is a farm in Arizona. Apparently, the department says the G Farms housed about 70 workers here on a visa in a dangerous and unsanitary encampment composed of school buses, semi-trailers, a cargo container, and an open-air shed. So officials investigated the scene and they realized these guys are living in an incredibly unsafe place, right? They're not housed properly, they're not paid properly. Let me give you more details. According to court documents, the farm crammed 10 workers into each school bus to sleep in. The rear exits of the buses were blocked by a mobile air conditioner, creating a safety risk. The windows of the bus were also blocked. The documents state the air conditioner only blew hot air. And if that wasn't bad enough, an investigator with the department also found that the shower facilities were filthy and trash ridden, and that an electrical cord used to supply lighting inside ran through the shower area and was exposed to standing water, which could result in electrocution. Now, the owner of the farm completely denies these charges and said, okay, you know, all of these things are false, but we found apartments and hotel rooms for them to stay in. No, but that's what you should have done in the beginning. You shouldn't have had to let it get to this point where investigators realize that these people are being housed in unsafe conditions. By the way, they were paid between 13 cents and 17 cents per bag of onions that they pick. And the farm owner says, no, that's totally fair. If you do the math, they get about $10 an hour, right? But the investigator said that no, they're actually making less, way less than minimum wage. These are all things that need to be proven, obviously, and this is a lawsuit. But these are people who left everything in their own countries behind to come here and do the work that Americans, keep it in real, refuse to do, right? And we continuously demonize them as if they're all criminals and they're all rapists and they're all bad people, when in reality, what we're doing to them is criminal behavior. The way that they're being treated is criminal behavior.
Yeah. Things have gotten so bad that I actually looked at what the attorneys for this company did, and I was surprised. I was like, wow, they were actually a little conciliatory. Not only did they get to the apartments and hotels, they wouldn't be arguing against the government request for a temporary restraining order, and that the farm would actually comply with all regulations. Like in the era of Trump, I expected them to be like, no, I'm right, you know what? I'm now gonna take away that air conditioner that's blowing the hot air, and I'm gonna block both exits.
No. In the age of Trump, I would expect them to do what Daryl Issa did to a reporter just yesterday. As soon as you ask a question, just flip that person off. You know Daryl Issa did that to a reporter?
Who's surprised? Trump's talking about imprisoning reporters, asking the FBI director to do that. So now, we shouldn't have gotten to that point though. We shouldn't be in this era. And there's two elements to this story. First, guys, I mean, is this what we've become, where we house people like cattle and in a school bus in that temperature, and who would you like to live that? You know, and then at least the second point that Anna made, which is like sometimes people go, oh yeah, we do that with those jobs, you know, it's no big deal. Really? Mm-hmm. You're gonna pick out in the incredibly hot sun onions, then get 13 to 17 cents per bag, and then you're gonna go live in a school bus?
And by the way, the big argument is, no, but the farmers take advantage of these immigrants. If they only paid higher wages and offered benefits, Americans would be swarming in. They'd love to take those jobs. But case study after case study shows that is not true. There have been farms that have not only increased wages, way higher than minimum wage, by the way, and they've also offered incredible benefits, and Americans still won't take the jobs, okay?
There's a recent case where a farm got rid of four workers, hired them with Americans. Three out of the four Americans quit within the hour. Okay, so look, is there a price at which Americans would do it? Yes, right? Mm-hmm. But we haven't found it yet. And so, look, even if you say, hey, no, we got to do I think we should do it the right way? Of course we should do it the right way, okay? And so if we can find American workers to do it at a certain price, and then we all have to pay a higher price at the grocery store, well, look, that's the price of being human beings, and right. I'm willing to pay that price. And so that's totally okay, right? And if we can set that up, fantastic, everybody wins, right? Now, given that it appears that every time there's been a crackdown on immigration, and in the deep red states, Alabama, Georgia, etc., they literally could not fill the jobs and the companies were going to go bankrupt and they would change the law and bring back illegal immigrants. Mm-hmm. And Republicans going, sorry, it didn't work. I got to bring these guys back, right? So given that, can we at least not keep doing it the wrong way so that they're shipped in, you know, and kept in school buses and paid these low wages, but have a pathway to citizenship? My God, indentured servitude was 7 years, right? In the bad old days when we had slavery and indentured servants, right? The pathway to citizenship, the latest proposal, which was rejected because the Republicans thought it was too lenient, was 14 years of manual labor, and then you finally earn a pathway to citizenship. For God's sake, we can do that, right? I mean, at a minimum. And last of all, even if you don't agree to any of that, can we at least agree that they are decent human beings just like us, in fact, who will sacrifice for their families, maybe even more than us, that they're willing to live under those conditions so they can send some money back home so that their kids have a shot at least.
Yeah, look, for me, the biggest takeaway from this story, regardless of what you think about labor, who should take these jobs, how they should take these jobs, who should get paid, let's just put that aside for a second. The part of this story that drives me crazy is that we continuously get distracted by talking points that politicians feed us, okay? And it makes us think that the real bad guys are those that risk everything just to come here and provide for their families, right? The real criminals here, if these allegations are proven to be true, are the farm owners who mistreated and abused these workers. Those are the real criminals, okay? Those are the people that we should be having conversations about.
You know what the Statue of Liberty says. It says, give me your tired, your poor, your wretched refuse, okay, on our teeming shores. So the people who are hungry and want to work hard and believe in the American dream, that's these guys. Those are exactly what the Statue of Liberty talked about. It didn't say, give me your incredibly wealthy looking for a golden visa, okay? And that is what now we're doing. We're giving away visas for $500,000 a pop. That's not what this country is supposed to be. And so at a bare minimum, we should all agree to treat each other as human beings that we all are, with some shred of decency.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, Monsanto at it again, lots of drums, this time involving one of its pesticides and up to 800 people who claimed that they got cancer as a result.
Monsanto, you did it again. Okay, we'll be back. All right, back on the Young Turks, Cenk and Anna with you. Perry Spletz-Tozer says, I really hope we can get a TYT interview with Chelsea Manning. Hold. Scooter the Shooter says, welcome to freedom, Chelsea. Truth always needs to come out. Marcus Granger says, I'm happy about Obama's decision to release Chelsea Manning, but I'd say the ACA saved millions of lives. Both are half measures. Marcus, and this is a silly debate, but Obamacare was a previously right-wing healthcare proposal. So how much credit can I give you for giving us a Heritage Foundation plan and then, you know, and then telling us to be happy about it? So yes, it was better than what existed before. Yes, it's 1,000 times better than the Republican proposal. But I just can't say like, oh, great job, wonderful, problem solved. Anyway, you should check out an interview that I did last night. If you remember, you got to see it live. It was with George Halverson. He is the former CEO of Kaiser Permanente. And he's an incredible expert on healthcare and also child development. The stuff on child development at the end of the interview is amazing. Do not have kids without first seeing the end of that interview, okay? Or buying hell versus, I'm not playing. Edwin agrees, everybody who saw it, Ja'Cory, Bart, everybody who saw it. I told somebody at dinner afterwards, they're like, oh my God, what's the book? I gotta check it out, okay? Turns out between ages of when your kid is born to three is monumentally important, but the details are important. Anyway, that's on youtube.com/TYT interviews. But what he said about the Republican healthcare plan was, it is horrible and criminal.
Wow.
Okay. So anyway, last tweet for you guys is Captain Picard. That's why donors don't want immigration reform, neither stop illegal immigration. Illegals basically provide slave labor.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Yeah. And so if you're mad at anybody in the immigration situation, the guys you should be most mad are the guys hiring the illegal immigrants. Mm-hmm. But notice, we never lock them up. Never, no. Right? We never address that. Okay. And member shout outs are Jason Stern and Mason Kirby. Members make this show possible. It allows us to be the independent media that you see before you. And we all, members also get the interviews live like I did last night. And the post games. So we got a great post game coming up for you guys today, and TYT classics today and later. Old school. Oh, you're on old school tonight.
I am. John and I are going to do old school with you. Actually, Brett's going to join us as well.
Oh, so it's, I didn't know that. Okay, yeah. Quad old school. It's going to be fantastic.
It is.
If the current members say it all the time, it's one of the best shows we do. And come check it out. TYTnetwork.com/join.
We should knock back a few brewskis. While
ooh, brewskis. Interesting, because I might fall asleep at the end.
Oh, okay.
You should
maybe
drink
we'll
coffee.
Have some brewskis, okay. And we'll get you coffee.
Okay.
Or a rock star or something.
Or hi. All right, let's go forward.
All right. Monsanto is facing a class action lawsuit, which has been filed by 800 cancer patients. They are part of this class action lawsuit. And they are suing Monsanto, the maker of Roundup, claiming the company failed to warn consumers about the risk of cancer associated with Roundup products. Now, this is a really fascinating story, because keep in mind that Monsanto genetically modified crops in order to withstand Roundup. And that was always super suspicious to me, because it's not about genetically modifying plants or crops. It's about why you would want to do so. Why would you want to use a product that's so freaking toxic that you'd have to go out of your way to genetically modify it? Anyway, and they always said it's safe, there's no problem, except the people who were exposed to it at higher levels all somehow got non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, okay?
They didn't all get it, of course, but a lot of them got it.
A lot of them.
And what Monsanto then turns around and says, well, you can't prove it, right? How do I know? Maybe coincidentally you guys all got it for a different reason. Now, that is super hard to prove. By the way, that's why you have lawsuits.
Yeah.
Because you get to present your side, Monsanto, and you've got an army of lawyers. The other guys get to present their side. And that's how we adjudicate things. And then they're like, no, don't sue us, don't sue us. Right?
Yeah. So let me give you the details on what's going on. And when I said they all got this condition, I meant the individuals who have joined the class action lawsuit. That's mm-hmm. what I meant, not mm-hmm. everyone who's been exposed to it. Okay. So Monsanto says there's no proof that glyphosate is carcinogenic. That is the chemical in question here. In fact, it cites a report by the Environmental Protection Agency's Cancer Assessment Review Committee that said that this chemical is not likely to be carcinogenic to humans. Okay. But also keep in mind that someone who was working within the EPA at the time that that statement was released had very cozy ties to Monsanto.
Oh.
So that is an ongoing theme that you notice with Monsanto. And how do we know it? We know it through emails that somehow we have access to that indicate that they had the cozy relationship, and also that they were working with scientists in order to manipulate the outcomes of certain scientific research, okay?
And by the way, when they say there's no evidence that it's carcinogenic, That's not true. In March of 2015, the World Health Organization's International Agency for Research on Cancer said that it is, quote, probably carcinogenic to humans. So now there's been other reports in 2016 as well, and it goes back and forth. But look, if you are a rational human being and a giant multi-billion dollar corporation says, don't worry, I paid a bunch of scientists and they agree with me, you know to discount that, right? I mean, please tell me you know to discount that. Now, if they have neutral scientists that have reports saying it's not carcinogenic, well, that's interesting. And again, that's why we go to court and figure it out.
Right, exactly. Right? And just to be clear, there is some evidence as of now against Monsanto that I think is pretty interesting, especially considering the fact that emails indicate that they wanted to manipulate the outcome of these scientific studies, right? So I think that's super suspicious. But at the same time, you're right. I mean, you need to prove it in court. And as of now, it has not been proven. I just want to give you guys the facts that we have at the moment. Now, the World Health Organization's International Agency for Research on Cancer caused a stir in March of 2015 when it said that glyphosate is probably carcinogenic to humans, meaning it can lead to cancer. Now, the lawyer who is representing the patients in this class action lawsuit said the following, though. We are not alleging that our clients got cancer from this chemical alone. We are suing because our clients got cancer from Roundup. Roundup contains animal fats and other ingredients that increase the carcinogenic property of this chemical, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
So that's interesting. And so that's another thing that needs to be proven. But Monsanto stresses that the International Agency for Research on Cancer report does not establish a link between the chemical and an increase in cancer.
So they go back and forth on this. Mm-hmm. But the folks do have cancer. And they
lot of folks have cancer.
And they were exposed to Roundup. So let me go through some of Monsanto's excuses, right? And there are different tactics. Tactic number one, and this is not just Monsanto, any company charged in a case like this, their number one excuse is, well, you don't know it for sure. You don't know it for sure. Maybe that all those people got cancer. There's another case in Arkansas where they were by a river, and there's a company that was leaking stuff into the river, and there's an extraordinary case of cancer in that neighborhood right by the river. And they're like, well, you don't know for sure. It could have been the birds. It could have been the flowers. It could have been something else. You don't know. Ha ha, ha ha. Well, then if we agree to that concept, then they could leak anything they want. They could make it as carcinogenic as they want and then say, well, since you can't prove it 128% that it was exactly what led to their cancer, then I win and I can do anything I want. But that's not how it works. You go to court and the jury or the judge decides. And you know what? A lot of times they rule against these companies because it turns out, yeah, of course, it is provable enough, right? And you can trace how the people were not sick before, they are sick after a certain time. And if you have enough evidence, then obviously you win the case, right? So number two thing that they do is they ghostwrite reports.
Yes.
Okay.
Can I give you the details on this? I want to give you guys specific details. Okay. So a month before the IARC report came out in 2015, Monsanto executive William Haydens sent an internal email to company toxicologist Donna Farmer. In that email, he suggested ghostwriting parts of an overall plausibility paper to save money. Okay. He continues to say, if we went full bore with experts, we could be pushing $250,000 or maybe even more. A less expensive, more palatable approach might be to involve experts only for some of the less contentious parts of the report. Then Monsanto would ghostwrite the exposure tax and genetitox sections. That is, I'm not putting words in his mouth. I just read verbatim what was in his email.
So what would be palatable is if we just wrote it saying it's safe and only brought in the experts on stuff that's not controversial. Well, that would be palatable for Monsanto's interest. And guys, you know this, right? That corporations are built to maximize profits. They're not here to worry about your health. They're not here to worry about any of those things that affect the community. Their job is maximize profit. And so will they hire scientists? Do you think there's any chance that the scientists that Monsanto hired were going to come out and go, oh my God, it's really carcinogenic. You guys got to stop this.
Yeah.
You stop making all those hundreds of millions of dollars off this product.
No. Just like how the Koch brothers hire scientists to do research on climate change and then come out with the outcome that, no, climate change is not happening and it's not man-made.
Yeah, and right? By the way, there's another reason why you go to court. Because ExxonMobil and all those other companies say, no, 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 all our scientists say the climate change isn't happening. And then you, once you do some requests for documents, you find out internal memos that say, oh, it's definitely happening, let's figure out how to hide it. Okay, so you know, so let's see what happens. Now, the third thing that happens, which I didn't know about, and I've seen this, right? Yeah. But I didn't know what the source was. I thought it was legit, right? Is whenever you talk about Monsanto or GMOs, you will get a flurry of attacks online, and they'll say, oh, you're anti-science, and you're a conspiracy theorist and stuff. And I thought, man, those people are kind of riled up. That's kind of interesting that they care so much about this.
Right, and especially for people like us who are certainly not anti-science, and we love scientific advancements, it makes you stop and think for a second.
Yeah.
Like, oh, did I miss something? Because you know, sometimes you come across comments that might be negative, but constructive. And so you might want to look into a different perspective. But then you do some digging and you're like, no, there's some wrongdoing here based on these internal memos and based on some of this activity and behavior by these executives at Monsanto. There's something shady going on. But what they do is they use the same type of tactics that our US politicians use. They hire trolls, they hire bots, and they go ahead and they attack people who have the audacity to criticize them and the behavior that we just laid out for you guys.
So I didn't know this until it was just revealed. It turns out they're paying trolls to say that stuff online. So now, if you're a person who earnestly believes that and you were fighting against people, one, are you sure you weren't influenced by the people that were paid to do that in the first place?
Right.
Now, I know you're gonna get touchy about that and say, no, I'm independent. And I'm sure that there were, I'm not sure, I guess that there were some people who earnestly believed it. But now they ruined your credibility too, because it turns out they were paying everyone else. And so now when you see an online comment, and they do it on Facebook, they do it on social media, they do it all over the internet. And just like the David Brock's group did it, you know, during the campaign, and then Trump's people did it during the general election. So they're paying people to put out comments going, oh no, Monsanto's right. Oh, you guys, if you're attacking Monsanto, or you're concerned about GMOs, or you're concerned about cancer, you don't know science, science is awesome. That's what makes us pause. Wait, we agree that science is awesome. We're totally pro facts. It turns out it's all a trick. They're pretending to be in favor of science to push their corporate agenda in that case. So beware of people telling you online how you know, the true scientific position is to be pro GMOs, pro Monsanto, and pro these chemicals that they're putting in there that they say they claim coincidentally people got cancer from, but they didn't get it from us. They just happened to coincidentally get it in the general area. But if you say they did, I'm gonna send my trolls after you.
I think the most important, this is the rule of thumb with every issue that's controversial. Don't believe us, don't believe Monsanto. You're a smart person and you have every imaginable resource at your fingertips. Do your own research. Don't pay attention to the trolls. Don't pay attention to anything. Just trust yourself, right? Because there's a lot of propaganda. I don't think there's propaganda on our side. We're just trying to report the facts to you guys. But nonetheless, if you don't trust us, do your research, because there's some shady stuff going on and it's unacceptable.
So, and the problem is that when you go to do it, these guys have paid a lot of money for fake news and fake reports.
Yeah.
And so and part of their effort is just muddy the waters enough so people aren't sure.
Right, so they're confused. Yeah.
So that at the end of the day, we win the cases and we walk out and we keep making our money.
Well, I'm looking forward to the trolls commenting on this video.
Yeah, well, and the funny thing is, we'll have no, if you're a real person, we'll have no idea.
Right.
So Monsanto trolls, luckily you just made a lot of money. Go comment away.
Yeah. All right, moving on. A DC artist in, well, he's in DC, right? So let me start that over again. A DC artist recently caused quite a splash after he projected the emoluments clause onto the Trump Hotel in Washington, DC. Robin Bell and a couple of his friends pulled up in front of the Trump Hotel in a van. They set up a projector and beamed the entire text to the emoluments clause of the US Constitution, which of course bars this president from receiving gifts or payments from foreign governments or heads of state, onto the old post office pavilion's facade, as well as text reading, pay Trump bribes here and emoluments welcome. So I didn't know that this is something that he actually regularly does. And since it doesn't cause any type of permanent damage to anything, it's not technically illegal. So apparently the projection was left up for about 15 minutes before authorities were able to take it down. But I love this because this is, first of all, I see this as a form of political art, and I love political art, especially when you can find loopholes and make it legal. And it says something, and it says something in a very strong way. So a lot of people took photos of it, took video of it. Experts agree Trump is a pig was a previous projection that Robin Bell had done. This was, I believe, right after he got elected. But nonetheless, it's a clever tactic that he uses, and it gets people talking, so it's great.
So the earlier one about how experts agree Trump's a pig was in late November after the election. Mm-hmm. And it's actually a throwback reference to Ed Meese. And that's what people had done in the 1980s DC punk scene. So it was an homage to those old artists and seems to fit Trump pretty well as well.
Yeah.
I like the more clever approach. I mean, look, the homage is clever as well, but mm-hmm. Of not only putting the emoluments clause, but the exact arrow of pay Trump bribes here.
Right. Yeah.
And it's a very, very real issue. Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington have already gone to court saying he violated the constitutional clause for accepting payments from foreign governments. Every time they check into his hotel, that is a payment to Donald Trump. And foreign government officials have said repeatedly in the press and in public, yeah, of course we stay at Trump Hotel because we want to make sure that the American president is happy. There's been cases where they admitted, well, we had our conference booked for another hotel, but we switched it and moved to the Trump Hotel to make sure that Trump was on our side. That's a foreign government basically admitting in public that they're, in a sense, bribing Donald Trump so that they can get favors from our government.
Republicans' inability to apply the same criticism that they used against Hillary Clinton on Donald Trump or themselves drives me absolutely crazy. Look, the criticism that Hillary Clinton got during the election, not all of it, but a lot of it, was completely justified, in my opinion, right? But why is it that Donald Trump gets to do, I mean, more than what Hillary Clinton did, okay? Times 100, and leaking classified information to Russia, you know, violating the emoluments clause of the US Constitution. I thought Republicans were pro-constitution. I thought they were constitutionalists. I thought they wanted to protect the Constitution. They don't want to protect the Constitution. They want to protect their political party, regardless of how ill-behaved they are. And in this case, you have our president taking advantage of his position to profit. That's all he wanted. That's all he wanted. He wanted to win and he wanted to profit. And that's all he's using that position for.
So when Hillary Clinton took money from foreign governments and in the form of donations to her foundation, we pointed that out over and over again on the Young Turks and said, look, she might one day be president. The Saudis and all the other governments that gave money to the Clinton Foundation didn't do it because all of a sudden they cared about healthcare, right? They didn't do it because all of a sudden they decided that charity is an awesome thing. And if they did, they might have wanted to give to many other charities. No, it was obviously to influence the Clintons. Now, if you were justifiably angry about that, when these same governments don't give to a foundation or a charity to help Trump, they just put it in Donald Trump's pocket. Shouldn't you be at least as concerned about that? And number one, of course you should be more concerned because it's just flat out bribery. He takes the money and puts it in his pocket. It doesn't go to any charity. Second of all, he's the president. Hillary Clinton could have become president. That's why we were so concerned about it. He is currently the president and taking this money from foreign governments. So let alone all the trademarks that were granted to him in China, let alone all the towers that have now been approved to be built in foreign countries like Turkey and Argentina and all the other ways that he has enriched himself, which is a direct violation of the Constitution. The Constitution doesn't say, hey, if you take money for your charity, if you're running for president, that's a problem. Maybe you should, but it doesn't say it. It says if you're the president and you're not serving the American people, instead you're serving your own interests by taking money from foreign governments, that is an unconstitutional and impeachable offense.
It's crazy. All right, let's do a little bit of international news. Let's have some fun. An Oxford University student is unlikely to get any jail time after she stabbed her boyfriend and assaulted him in other ways during a alcohol and drug fueled argument. Now, the student in question is Lavinia Woodward, and she is studying at Oxford to become a surgeon. Okay, so why is it that she gets away with this? Well, we'll get to that detail in just a second. But she is 24 years old. She stabbed her boyfriend in the leg with a bread knife before throwing a laptop, a glass, and a jam jar at him during a row fueled by drink and drugs. Okay, that's according to Ross McGinnis, a Yahoo reporter. The boyfriend called her mother on Skype for help, but Woodward punched him in the face before picking up the bread knife and stabbing him in the leg. Okay. So this was obviously a very violent episode, but the judge has decided that this young woman has a lot of potential, so she's unlikely to face any jail time. In fact, he has postponed the sentencing for 4 months. She will not be sentenced until September. Okay, Judge Ian Pringle has delayed sentencing for 4 months and indicated that Woodward may not be jailed because of her potential. Let me give you his exact quote. "It seems to me that if this was a one-off, a complete one-off, to prevent this extraordinary, able young lady from not following her long-held desire to enter the profession she wishes to, would be a sentence which would be too severe." Okay. She stabbed someone with a dull knife. Okay. She stabbed someone. Like, I'm not saying destroy her, okay? But really, what?
Yeah. Okay. First of all, to be fair to her, it was just a butter knife, okay?
You can't go around stabbing people. This is insane. Okay, no, fair is fair, okay? If this was a story about a dude doing this to his girlfriend, people would be understandably outraged, right? I don't know if this is a gender thing. I think it's more of a privilege thing. And she's a very cute, attractive, young white girl.
To be fair to
okay?
her.
And so, and there seems to be a lot of empathy for her. And I don't feel that same empathy would exist in similar instances or similar cases involving people who look different.
Let her go. No, I'm kidding.
It's a freaking dull knife.
Okay. All right. So let's get real here for a second. Are there issues of privilege? Oh, of course. Okay. Now this is the UK, but let's just say, I don't know. So I can't comment enough about the UK. I know the American context. Mm-hmm. If you had a black male stab a woman in the leg with a knife and then throw a laptop at her, a glass, a jar at her, right?
While on drugs, by the way.
And their excuse was, no, but that's okay. I was really high and I'm an addict. And doesn't show up to trial. She's in Milan, do you know that?
She's in Italy with her mother.
Okay.
And
says, you know, I do look Lalo, I've got a bright future ahead for me. Here's what's gonna happen in America to that black male. 20 years, okay, about, yeah. Right? So.
And again, look, I want everyone to understand, I'm not saying like throw the book at her, she should be in prison for 50 years. But here's the thing, it's assault, in the very minimum it's assault, and it's involving a potentially deadly weapon. I know it's a dull knife, but it's still a knife.
Yeah, I don't know if dull makes it better or worse, but anyway.
You can't go around stabbing people.
Of course, all right, so. And look, and if you're a poor white kid out of Nebraska and you stab somebody, you're probably going away for 20 years too. So, I think that it's that these judges, and I said the same thing with the Stanford rape case, right? They look at these people and think, there but for the grace of God goes my kid.
That's exactly right.
Oh, but that's a good kid going to Stanford. That's
look
a good girl.
Good.
She's going to be a heart
she
surgeon.
Looks so sweet.
She's going to Oxford.
Those rosy cheeks and that blonde hair.
Come on. Yeah. She doesn't look like a criminal.
Right.
It's probably a one-off. Now, how often when you're poor, again, doesn't matter what your race is, if you're poor, do you not look like a criminal? When you go in front of that same judge, all of a sudden they don't think it's a one-off. They don't think you have a bright future, and off to jail you go. So that's what's driving everybody crazy throughout the world. And that's what the establishment still doesn't understand to this day. And now I'm going to extrapolate a lot here, but I believe it. That's part of why you have all these anti-establishment votes. That's why you have Brexit. That's why you have the Trump vote. Because people are pissed. They're like, enough, man. When it comes to us, we get crushed. Our wages are stagnating. They're not going up. When we go in front of criminal justice, they maul us, right? I get a ticket, and then all of a sudden, I can't pay it because I didn't get my paycheck in time, or I had to get a payday loan, and then it's doubled and it's tripled, and I'm totally screwed. And then they'll sometimes put you in jail for that because you owe it to the government. I mean, they will crush you in every conceivable way. And then when someone wealthy does something, oh, I do declare, she's got a bright future. I mean, she's going to Oxford. So toodaloo to say hi in Italy to her. If you didn't show up to court and you were poor, they wouldn't assume that you're fine and you'll show up later. They'd put out an arrest warrant for you and get your ass to jail immediately. And then they'd put you away for a long, long time. This is what we're pissed about.
Absolutely. And also, come on, guys. Why you gotta do Doctors Without Borders dirty like that?
I mean, look, she is in Italy without borders.
No, I get
she
it.
She had no borders. It's to too good a to pun. Me. It's too good a pun. You can't turn it down.
True,
okay.
But
puns without borders. Okay. Oh my God, we're out of time. Okay, we're done.
We're done. We have TYT Classics today for our members. We do TYT Classics every Wednesday. It is not live, but you can check it out in the archives if you are a member. TYTnetwork.com/join. And we also have a post game, right?
That's right. Absolutely. And it's going to be great. No more bathroom talk, though. Okay. All right.
Oh, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.